So we're gonna tighten up the law and make it where if somebody does this, they better think twice.
Our sheriff actually has testified in another state because this perpetrator actually went to another state and committed the same crime somewhere else.
Welcome to Lawmakers Spotlight. I'm Donna Lowry. Here you will find in-depth interviews with Georgia lawmakers and leaders on the issues driving the legislative session. These conversations go beyond the headlines to explore how decisions are made and what they mean for you and your community.
We kick off our interview segments with bills aimed at protecting Georgia's most vulnerable, from tracking sexual predators across state lines to strengthening incest laws and expanding infant safety devices. Two Republican lawmakers join us to explain their legislation. Joining us is Republican Representative Darlene Taylor of Thomasville. She is chair of the House Appropriations Health Subcommittee. Some of her other duties include the Special Committee on Health Care and Public Safety and Public Community and Community Health, that committee. Also here is Republican Representative Mike Cameron of Rossville. He is the vice chair of Human Relations and Aging. His other committee assignments include Appropriations and Agriculture and Consumer Affairs. Welcome to Lawmakers.
Thank you.
And you're
thank
on you, Agriculture you. And Consumer Affairs too, so early morning I hear you
That's
have
right.
a hearing.
8 a.m.
Okay. All right then. So we'll try not to keep you too late tonight. Okay. All right. Chair Taylor, let's get to these difficult but critically important issues you're addressing. You have HB 421, the Interstate Sexual Predator Prevention Act. First, what's behind that legislation?
We had an episode and an issue at home where someone had traveled from another state, and the person was arrested. Nothing had happened. He actually met a young boy online, and parents were unaware of it. The man traveled from South Carolina, but he had been in many states. The father found them together, and it was very intrusive to the family and what happened. But once it went to court, we realized that there is not a law in the state of Georgia charging because nothing had happened for traveling. So I've been trying to bring this bill for several years, and it's difficult because the issue is that he traveled, nothing had happened. But today with the internet, you have a track record where he had intentions that were not very honorable. And our judges felt like we needed to have something. So I've listened to my sheriff and the judges and law enforcement, and they've asked me to bring this legislation.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask about his legislation, which is difficult too, and then we'll get back with you about the bill. You have another bill to protect the most vulnerable Georgians, HB 57, Crimes of Incest to Include Step-Parent and Step-Child Relations. Yep. What's behind that bill?
We had a situation in Northwest Georgia where a young lady went to live with her grandmother and step-grandfather, and the step-grandfather took advantage of the situation. And after it was determined what he'd done, the family wanted him prosecuted. But the young lady was of age in Georgia, past the legal age, so they were going to prosecute him under the incest law, but they found out there was a loophole there where step-grandchildren, step-grandparent relationship was not covered. So our DA at the time called me. We got with legislative counsel and drafted a bill almost immediately.
Wow. So we'll find out more about what that is. Tell us what your bill will do.
It's very simple. It specifically states that if you travel from another state, it is a crime in the state of Georgia now, and this is making our folks at home very happy. Our sheriff actually has testified in another state because this perpetrator actually went to another state and committed the same crime somewhere else. So I'm very glad Georgia has recognized this, and we will not accept that kind of treatment and crimes in our state.
This is one of those where it always amazes me why this. You think this would have already
right.
been a law.
And people thought, and when I first brought the bill up, they said, oh, we already do cover it. But no, it is not there. Traveling. Again, no act had actually happened. And so there wasn't a case for that. But the intention was there. They traveled for that purpose. And with the internet today, there was a record of it. And you could see what the intentions were.
Wow. What about yours? Talk about what...
Well, this is going to send a message that we're not going to tolerate this. And I've had some people who counsel young people in Northwest Georgia tell me that passing this, they deal with young people that this happens to on a more than regular basis, unfortunately. So we're going to tighten up the law and make it where if somebody does this, they better think twice.
another one where you think, why wasn't that covered?
Exactly.
So I'm glad you guys have those bills. Okay, let's get to some more. You have also have the a bill. Well, you were on a committee, a study committee on public health to look evaluate the spending in public health.
That's correct.
And so tell us about that and why the speaker wanted this to happen.
It's very, very important what our public health is. That's the backbone for our health in the state of Georgia. And we needed to see how the funds were spent. What do they need? What's working and what's not? And I will tell you, if you've seen one health department, you've seen one health department. Our state is so diverse. Each one has different needs, but the community needs the services. We had some very great warriors during the COVID time. These were the people in those offices that worked very, very hard. But I worked with Dr. Toomey and the staff, and we were able to see what their needs were. Staffing is very difficult for them. And the first bill that we brought this year, I've already got it out of the House, and it has to allow those that work in the local departments, if they've reached the top of their career ladder, they can now transfer and go into the state public health. Before, they would lose their benefits. And if they wanted to progress, they would either leave the department and leave public health altogether. So this is going to help them, and we'll do other things, but this was the first one that we could get out the gate and get that done for the department.
Now, as part of the problem, the funding is federal,
yes,
state, and then the local counties, right?
That's correct. That's how it is funded. All three participate in it, and there's different things that you do with the money, and you earmark it. Each one is in a separate bucket. You can't commingle funds, things like that. So it is very difficult, and you don't have one person in charge of everything. Dr. Toomey is great with leading the Department of Public Health, but each county has their own autonomy. So it makes it difficult. We do give directives, and they, for the most part, regionally will obey them and do them. But we're still looking at legislation for some of that.
Yeah.
And it's very important now because of our FQHCs, our federally qualified health centers, work very closely to make sure that people have somewhere to go for health care.
Okay. I want to thank you for that, Bill. Let's get into your bill dealing with baby boxes. And I know there we've had this safe haven for babies in the past. So what's different with yours?
Well, this bill establishes some parameters. If a fire hall, a police department, a ambulance service, or maybe even a hospital wants to put one of these devices in their area, like in a fire department, in a wall there, outside wall, someone, if they're going to surrender a baby, they can bring it, put it in. They don't have to identify themselves. And once the baby is there, there's alarms that let people know there's a baby there. Then they'll take it to the hospital. The hospital will examine the baby and make sure that everything's all right. And then they go into the Department of Human Services. There's almost like, I came out of the compliance world, so it's almost like an audit trail. There's something that makes sure there's steps there that will make sure that the baby is safe and goes from one place to another and ends up where they should be, instead of just the baby being abandoned on the street or wherever on a doorstep. This will provide that the baby will be safely taken care of and get to the place where they go to foster care.
Yeah, I know I did a story years ago about these hope boxes, mm-hmm. that they'll call them in some places, where you put the baby in there and then the alarm goes off and somebody gets them. But you're saying there was still something missing
the ones that are there now they have electronic double safeties on them. So if one alarm doesn't go off, another one will. Okay. For example, the fire department's out answering a call. There'll be another alarm that rings over to like 911 and says there's a baby in there. So somebody will come and get the baby. They won't stay there very long. And every day, this bill requires twice a day that they have to do manual checks. And once a month, all the alarms have to be checked. So we're saying if someone does surrender a child, it's going to go from there to the hospital to human services. So we're going to make sure that baby's safe and is in the proper place.
Yeah. And where is your bill now? It passed out of the House.
Out of the House. It's in the Senate with the NCIS bill is in the Senate as well. So we look forward to working with the Senate to move those bills.
Okay. Before crossover day. And you still may see some bills you want to see some things that came out of your recommendations from your committee?
Yes, we'll be working on some more of those. We will.
Okay. I know that some of them may not make some of the counties happy. I think one recommendation is for them to put some more money in.
That's correct. We need to do some of that adjusting.
Okay. So. You, before we left, wanted to say something about the Okefenokee.
Yes, I did. I'm very grateful to... The Outdoor Stewardship Program has put some funds in to DNR to actually have a wildlife management area on the ridge right next to the Okefenokee and some of the protected land. And I think that's a great beginning for all the people of the state of Georgia.
So what kind of wildlife will we see be rescued?
There's all kinds there. We will see all. It will protect all of them. And it will be open for the public to be able to use it and see it. It's a wonderful idea.
Yeah, and that's another one. We're like, why not? Why haven't we seen that happen?
That's right.
Well, thank you both for coming on. I know it's the first time being on the set with both of you, so I appreciate that.
Thank you so much.
That wraps up this episode of Lawmaker Spotlight. These conversations are part of the reporting you see on Lawmakers, our nightly show on GPB TV, covering the Georgia General Assembly. You can watch us weeknights for updates, interviews, and analysis from under the gold dome. I'm Donna Lowry. Thanks for being here.